If you were here last week, we talked about the beginning, how things started in the church. We were commissioned by Jesus, an instrument of Jesus, even being kingdom builders for Jesus. Because last week we started in Acts 1, we read through 1 through 8, but we're going to start back where we left off in verse 8. Where Jesus gives out our marching orders. Can I get a witness? Verse 8 comes up and tells us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. See, these were Jesus' last words on earth. What authority, what direction, what a goodbye. And then he returned to heaven. But those were his marching orders. The direction of the gospel of Jesus Christ was where it was to go, how it was supposed to be done. And some of us right now have already said, "That's not for me." But these verses may have sent shivers down your spine. In one sense, I hope it really does. My hope at the end of the service, you will have a different opinion of Acts 1:8. Do you remember the gift we talked about last week in verse 4? Well, here it comes, the power. What kind of power? The power that came down from heaven upon those men, those 11 disciples, and to us. You know, as I look, we are created from the dust of the earth. Can you imagine that little piece of heaven that came down to us, that gift, that power that went into us, that gift from the Father? See, that word in Greek, the word dunamis, means an inherited strength or an ability to perform effectively. And believe it or not, the word dynamic is derived from it, or dynamite, excuse me, is derived from that word. See, the power of the Holy Spirit is explosive. It's dynamite explosive power. So Jesus says to us, "I'm going to give you a spiritual dynamite. What do you think you could do with that spiritual dynamite?" You could blow something up. You know, we kind of already like blowing things up at times. That's what, as a kid, I always liked to use firecrackers and blow things up. But you could blow up the world with love. You could blow up the world with hope. You could blow up the world in generosity. You could blow up this world in kindness. See, there's no boundaries to this spiritual dynamite and what it can do in a person. Well, if we look at a few examples today, if we look at Stephen, see, this dunamis power to him, he was able to perform signs and wonders. See, it says, Stephen, a man full of grace and spiritual dynamite power, performed great wonders and signs among the people in Acts 6:8. Now, when we receive this dunamis power like Stephen did, we can perform signs and wonders, though we don't see it, so to speak, today from people. But we were created to be able to do those signs and wonders. Spirit-filled believers have something inside them that enables them to do something that no one else can do. That's because of dynamite power we have within us. See, we are no different than those who perform those signs and wonders when the church started in Acts. Paul writes also about a young man named Timothy and tells him, this dunamis power will help you overcome your fear. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but a spiritual dynamite of power and love and self-control in 2 Timothy 1:7. When we receive this dunamis power to overcome our fears, and fear is normal. We all have fears, right? But we cannot overcome those fears on our own, because I can tell you right now, there is a power who tries to keep us in the bondage of fear. Satan tries to influence us through fear. And that's why the devil does not want us to walk in the power of God, because he knows it's going to hurt him. And with God's dunamis power, there is no need to live in fear. We can be bold and fearless in every situation we face. There's also a dunamis power to preach. Got kind of quiet all of a sudden, because that really scared a few of us, I bet. But yes, there is a calling for pastors to preach and do things. But God will, because the gospel came to you not simply through with words, but with this spiritual dynamite power, with the Holy Spirit, with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. That's what Paul did. He preached to the people. He talked to the people. Now, we received this dunamis power to preach the gospel. In other words, we're able to preach a message of salvation, of the power of God that comes with it. The power of salvation to someone. It can happen at any time. See, the gospel message you share changes hearts. You can bring just a simple salvation message of Jesus, and people will bring it. Why? Because of that dunamis power that's within you. And that's what Paul experienced throughout his ministry. He had a power that was unbelievable. And fear wasn't going to stop him either. If we compared ourselves to other religions, the gospel message could easily be scoffed at because it may seem foolish. But because it's powered by the Holy Spirit, and it's much more powerful than any other religion, and it can do a whole lot more. The gospel message is the good news because it has power to save people from their sins. I know there's a lot of bad news out to every day. We hear it, we read it. But we are the carriers of good news. That's because God has empowered us with a message of life. Life-changing message. And the funny part about this dunamis power, this spiritual dynamite, this gift that we're given to, has a co-worker. It's a witness. Verse 8 tells us, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. If you look up at the screen, what commonality, what do you see up there? This is a test. You may, what? You, thank you. You passed my class for the day. You're right. We are no different than those 11 apostles who spent those 40 days with Jesus, getting all the directions, all the training, everything else of what was going to happen. We are the you of today's world. Chris, would you put the other slide up for me, please? Few blank spots in there, aren't there? put your name in that blank spot. Now read it to yourself. But Pastor Mike will be my power. You will receive my power when the Holy Spirit comes upon Pastor Mike. And Pastor Mike will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth. It gets very personal. It becomes a relationship. It is something we cannot deny. Now, maybe many of you are already looking at yourself and say, I cannot talk. I cannot do this. I'm not a good speaker. I'm shy. I'll put it bluntly, let's not be a Moses. He came to God and said, I don't have the ability to do what you've asked me to do. I don't have the ability to be a witness. Let's not focus on what we think our weakness is, but let God use our weakness for his glory and advancement of his kingdom. We all remember Moses, right? One who can't talk. We've heard his story many times in the Bible. But one of the greatest things he said just before he died and watched the children of Israel cross over to Jordan, he says in Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and we will be with you. He will never leave you, never forsake you. So do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Because this truth still holds for us today. Because we have spiritual dynamite. And I said this last week. Jesus said, will you be my errand boy, my bench warmer? He makes it perfectly clear that we are to be a witness. My witness. These are the marching orders that he has given. Can I get a witness? The book of Acts of the Apostles is a variety of people who are witnessing for Jesus Christ. You look through it, there'll be many examples all the way. See, the dictionary defines the word witness this way: one who has seen or heard something, and one who has furnished evidence. A witness is someone who can say, I know this is true. And here's what a witness is. It's very simple. A witness tells what he knows is true. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to be a missionary. It doesn't require a college degree, a high IQ. And there's nothing in the Bible that says it's a pastor's job either, or someone of high authority. Jesus tells us, tell the truth about me. Tell it to someone who is willing to listen. That's where witnessing begins. In Acts 2:32, Luke tells us, this is what Peter is saying. God has raised Jesus to life, and we are the witnesses to that fact. That's a witness. Peter, in the next chapter, tells the high priest, you killed the authority of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are the witnesses of this. This is a witness of truth. See, a witness tells nothing less than the truth and nothing more than that. You tell what God has done for you. See, this is our marching orders. Can I get a witness? Witnesses share what we have experienced. We all have received the phone calls from someone trying to sell us something, right? When he starts talking, we know right away he's reading from script or this is some canned, memorized presentation. But those who are in sales know that the best people in selling believe in what they're selling. To a point they're not selling anything. They simply talk about what they know is true. In John chapter 9, verse 11, he tells us, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Shalom and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." See, in the same way with this healing of the blind man, if you haven't experienced Jesus, you really can't witness for him. I know you could probably try, but it might come off sounding a little canned or a little fake. But what it makes a difference is when you can share from the depths of your soul what Jesus has done with you. And this is the best kind of witnessing. So if you know Jesus, you can talk about what he's done for you. It should be easy. You can share how he's changed your life. Maybe not to a point he's put some mud on your eyes, but he's the authority of your story, my story, everybody's story. We all have a different story to tell. He can guide you day by day. He gives you strength to face your trials, encouragement to conquer your fears. These are the stories we can tell. You can tell him how he got you out of sin and gave you a brand new life. See, these are the marching orders that he's given us. Can I get a witness? Loyalty. What do you think about loyalty? How does that fit in their lives? If you remember Ruth, her loyalty demonstrated to complete devotion and duty to her mother-in-law, Naomi. She says, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn my back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." See, a witness remains loyal to the end, the bitter end. Many of you probably could recite this from Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Gentiles." And I'm happy about the second one, to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. I'm happy about that. I had the opportunity to know Jesus and not to be ashamed of the gospel. See, the word loyalty brings in mind a power of a sense of belonging and solidarity, a tightness, a oneness. See, in our relationship with each other, we're called to a steadfast loyalty together. And Paul speaks of that loyal companion in Philippians. He talks to this unknown person, whoever it was, he was faithful to the bitter end with Paul. We all want that type of relationship to be loyal, right? To the bitter end. For true believers, loyalty is shown in our commitment to Jesus and the gospel to the bitter end. It's our marching orders. Can I get a witness? In the Greek word for witness is martyros, for which the English word comes martyr. It means being loyal to Jesus no matter what the cost, speaking up for him when everything is being opposed around you. How many of us are willing to do that? To speak up? If you're going to witness for Jesus, it means being loyal to the end. And that might make us, or have made you, very unpopular in the world. For some of you, you may not win that Employee of the Year award because of your faith, possibly. It could cost you truly and dearly to witness for God. It could be a struggle with people around you. But let me say, if we're going to witness for people around us, what we do every day should be the same, so people don't see a difference and hear something different. Put it this way, We've all heard the story, if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, we know it's a duck. That's the way it should be for us. Every day, our lives should be the same for Jesus. See, in the early church, the believers chose death rather than deny the name of our Lord. Are you willing to die for Christ? We know there's some around the world have. But since most of us won't be called to do that in this country, here's the much harder question. Are you willing to live for Him? Jesus said, I'm going to give you spiritual dynamite and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the world. See, Jesus has provided a path for us and has given us the liberty to choose the direction. So what are you going to do with your marching orders today? I hope this verse has changed you. See, for me, OCC has become my path to witness. From Michigan to Ohio and to Florida have all become my Judea and my Samaria. And that little shoebox has become my world. So the question for you today, there's some things in your outline that you need to probably ask yourself. How am I going to live out these marching orders? Am I willing to be a witness in town, your community, or from here to Florida? Do you look for the opportunities to be a witness? And what can I do or say to be a witness to reach the world? A lot of questions that need to be asked. But really, it's our marching orders. Can I get a witness? Think about that. Let us pray. We'll have the big team come up to sing. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that you've given us life, you've given us love, and you've given us spiritual dynamite. May we use this dynamite, Lord, to reach a family loved one. May we reach a coworker. May we be able to reach someone. And most of all, Lord, we pray that we can be a witness for you as our marching orders have been asked us to do. In your name we pray. Amen.